Going to be going back to the book of Joshua, and we're going to be picking up our thought in Joshua chapter 8, if you'd like to turn there. Is this on, Natalie? Okay. To kind of bring up to speed, it's been a little while since we've been here. Remember Joshua and his brothers had defeated Jericho, and they were told not to partake of anything from that city, that it was all supposed to go into the treasuries of the Lord, because it was the first fruits of the land. And of course, there was one fellow by the name of Achan who didn't pay any attention to that, and he went and he partook and took some, I think it was some silver and some clothing and things like that, and hid it in his tent. And the point we brought out is the fact that the Bible tells us that you can be sure your sin will find you out. And it says, if we try to cover our sin, which he's trying to cover his sin, it says, you won't prosper. But if you confess and forsake, you'll have mercy. And I honestly believe that that's what happened to Achan, even though he lost his life. You know, and some people, the Bible says there is a sin unto death, and there is a sin that is not unto death. And some people who are Christians, I think they actually sin to the point where they lose their life, you know. But there are those, again, that, of course, there's a sin not unto death, and we're going to touch on that a little bit tonight, in which the Lord chastens and he judges. But we need to pay close attention to even what it says here in the Old Testament, with these Old Testament stories, because these were written for our admonition, and all too often people forget that very fact. Many of us have AIs in our life. They went against the city of Ai, and of course they went against them thinking that, you know, they could conquer them, and they had a small number of men in that city. They thought there was no problem, and they end up getting defeated, and I forget how many, it wasn't too many, but some of the men were killed even. But like I said, we all have had AIs in our lives where it just seems like, God, why is this happening? And a lot of it is because we tried to handle every situation that we come across like this in our own power and our own strength. And what we're going to learn today is that they, after they learned what the problem was, took care of the problem, and then they went after this city again, and they overcame it, not in their own strength, but in the power of God and in the direction of God. And one of the most important messages that you'll learn from this is that God is the God of second chances. Amen? You know, he's there. He's there for his people. And he recognizes the weakness of our flesh and how that sometimes we struggle with different areas and what have you. But he's able to help us. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, able to succor those or help those who have need. So let's go ahead and read verse 1 here. It says, "Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, and take all the people of war with you, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given the hand of the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his..." I'm sorry, I read that wrong. "I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land." Brother Andy, would you ask a blessing upon this word tonight, please?
Heavenly Father, as we call upon you at this time, Lord, we just ask, Father, that you would just open hearts and minds here, Father, that we, as we study your word tonight, Lord, that we just grow in it, and we see what the meaning for us and how it applies in our lives and how we can use it in our own walk to be closer to you. And Father, we just pray that you will anoint our pastor again, Father, because we can never be with too little anointing.
Amen. And I think Andy just hit it right on the head. I was just talking to Natalie about this morning, how that there are times in I think everybody's walk, but I think in particular in those who are in leadership in church, you have pastors and things like that, where they want to feel like that they're making a difference, you know, and that they're having an impact upon other people's lives. And whenever you don't see things happening, a lot of times it is easy to get discouraged, you know, and to be like, you know, Elijah, you know, and like I said. And I think the thing that's lacking in the church as a whole today, and I think when it comes to some of the movements that have taken place as far as, like, you know, we have these conferences, for example, we've had the Promise Keepers and things like that in the past, you know. I think one of the biggest problems is that we have tried to do things in our own power and our own strength. And we need to be led by the Lord. And as I was sharing with the men yesterday, the main coordinator said that there was only about 138 men signed up thus far. And but we're expecting more. And the Lord put on my heart to tell him, you know, let's go. Scripture says, don't despise small beginnings. Amen? I told him, I said, it only takes a spark to ignite a fire. If it is the Lord who's doing the work, there's nothing can stop it, you know. And keep in mind Elijah. He walked out there after he had battled those prophets of Baal. And he looked out over the ocean. There had been no rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed that the Lord would bring rain. And he looked out there and there was nothing coming. Then he looked out there and he said, do you see anything, to his servant? And his servant said, I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And he prayed again, and pretty soon the cloud began to grow. Point is, folks, is that we sometimes get discouraged and we stop praying before we have the fulfillment of God's promise. True faith continues to pray. True faith continues to step out in the things of God. Wait on the Lord. Amen. And He will renew your strength. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to just step out, and no matter what, we're going to trust the Lord, and we want to keep this thing going. We want revival to take place in Humboldt County. And we believe that it is the Holy Spirit that is putting this within the hearts of not only the leadership of churches, but within the hearts of all men in these churches. It's time for the church to come together. Do you guys believe that it's close to that time for the Lord to appear? You know? And if we have such a short time, we need to be busy doing the work of God. Amen? You remember back when we looked at chapter 7? Remember we said it began with a big but. But chapter 8 begins with a wonderful and, you know, in the King James Version when you read this. And the Lord said to Joshua. Now, even though we can grieve the Spirit by sin, and that we can quench the Spirit when we fail to wait for the Lord to receive His direction, the Lord doesn't give up on us. There's always and there. Because He's the God of second, third, fourth. You know, He's patient. He's long-suffering. Now, once Achan's sin was exposed, the Lord said, don't be discouraged. He said, I'm giving you the victory. And as we said, Achan tried to cover his sin. And, of course, we do that very same thing. But we should always remember this verse. And I quoted it earlier, Proverbs 28:13-14. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. The uncovering sin can come in different ways, and it can come in different levels of chastening. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They were punished just like Achan. They lost their lives, right? And of course, Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through 37, we read about it. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and with great grace, and great grace was upon them. Nor was anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet and distributed them to each as everyone had need. Now, Jones, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, And Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also, being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own, in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon those who heard these things. And yet the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, and for so much." And Peter said to her, "How is it you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." And immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon the church and upon all who heard these things. I would think so. Amen. Now, was this the only time we see in Scripture that the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter's heart to reveal sin, to reveal the things that somebody's trying to cover up? And I'd submit to you that it's not. Here we see a sin unto death, but in this next one, it's not really a sin unto death, but we see that it is exposed nonetheless. In the book of Acts chapter 8, if you'll turn there with me, and we're going to pick up in verse 5, it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of the many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city, and there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city, and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. And when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Now when they had come down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they had laid hands on them and received the Spirit, and they received the Holy Spirit, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, that on anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God.'" See, I believe it's the Holy Spirit giving him discernment concerning that. "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound with iniquity." You see, he saw that there were some troubles with his heart, things that were hidden that nobody else could see. He was playing the part of a Christian, but his sin, it found him out, you see. And the Holy Spirit bring revelation and understanding concerning that. "And Simon answered and said, 'Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me.'" Folks, the successful person in life, a Christian, is the one who, after he gets chastened, gets busy doing what's right. Doesn't wallow in self-pity, because that usually leads to a falling away. When a sin is found out, again, there's always going to be a chastening. Don't lie there in the dust like, you know that there's no hope, because there's always hope, and God is always gracious to restore. Apostle Paul was one who was found out. The Holy Spirit revealed the problems of his life. In Philippians 3, verse 13 through 14, it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." And of course, we know that after David sinned with Bathsheba, after her husband was killed, and after David waited for the birth of the son that he had fathered with Bathsheba, and finding out that the baby was born, it was weak and it was sick, the Bible tells us that David recognized his sin, but at the same time, he also recognized that he had a hope set before him when he said, "I can't go to him, or he can't come to me, but I can go to him." That there was always a hope. That's how David and Paul, all of them, how that they could continue on. They forgot about the past sin, and they strove forward to the high calling of God. In verse 2 it says, "And you shall do to Ai and its king as you do to Jericho and its king, only its spoils and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay ambush for the city behind it." Now, you know the story in Jericho, the Israelites, they were not to take anything, but they were to take from Ai here. If Achan had just been a little more patient, and this is the problem with us all, amen, when it comes to spiritual things. This is one of the reasons why people try to make things happen in churches. And I've seen things happen where there's people running around the room, there's laughing and all this stuff, and people say it's a move of God, because they want so much for there to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God. But folks, I believe more than anything else, when we obey the Word of God, that is a move of the Spirit, because His words are Spirit. Amen? And when we obey the Word of God, it has a lasting impact upon wherever God sends that Word. Amen? So again, we have to do what the Word says and wait for the Lord, and then He will perform the signs and the wonders that will confirm that word that it is from God. We need to wait. We need to understand that God is able to do abundantly beyond what we're able to ask or to think. James 1, verse 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." In Romans 15 and 15 it says, "Now may the God of peace and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another." Like-minded, like what? Like the God of peace? The one who has patience and comfort? Yeah. Says that you be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. That's a move of the Spirit. You see, when you walk like Jesus, He is the living Word. His words are Spirit and they are life. There are people who are doing things in churches and they say, "Oh, it's a move of the Holy Ghost," when a lot of it is not. You know, it has to agree with the Word. Verses 3 through 7 says, "So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, 'Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and we will come, and it will come about, when they come out against us as at the first, that we shall flee before them.'" A little trickery here. "For they will come out after us until we have drawn them from the city. And for they will say, 'They are fleeing before us as at the first.' Therefore, we will flee before them. Then you shall arise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hands." I hear they're following the direction of the Lord. Sometimes whenever we get through spinning our wheels trying to do things our own way and we finally start listening to the Word of God and doing things God's way, we find, of course, why didn't I think of that, right? The first time 2,000 or 3,000 go to fight at Ai. This time he chooses 30,000. It says men of valor. And they were only to set up an ambush team. Men's ministry. I love the fact that the name of the men's ministry that we serve in Samoa is God's Men of Valor. It's really just speaking of having courage. And it means that, even though the world may be against you, even though things might get tough, you still stand. Amen? You go where God tells you to go. You do what God tells you to do, even so, though sometimes it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Think about Gideon. The things that God told Gideon to do. Started off with, I forget how many men. It was several thousand, I'm sure. And he took him to a pool of water, and he said, the ones who pick up the water in their hand and drink, you keep them, but the ones who lap it like a dog, you send them home. But first he had said, anybody who was fearful, send home. But after that happened, he said, this men are still too many, right? And so he had his ways of weaning it down. I went all the way down to 300 men. 300 men coming against the camp of the Midianites. And he says, I want you to take a bowl or a jug, and I want you to put fire in it. And I want you to take a shofar, a horn, and I want you to have a sword in your one hand, and that shofar and that jug, and when you get close to the camp, I want you to crack that jug open, let the fires blaze, and he says, and then I want you to blow that trumpet and shout, a sword for the Lord and Gideon. Now people, natural man in particular, would say, are you crazy? Those Midianites are going to, they're going to give us what for? But by faith, they did that. And it was really the angel of the Lord that came upon that camp and defeated those Midianites. Folks, if we would only remember that even though we seemingly are outnumbered, if it seems like that there's no way that we can overcome the odds, greater is he who is in us, who is in the world. And we are more than conquerors than in Christ Jesus. And if he's for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Because he's God. He can make it happen. Now, the people of Ai, they didn't know that Israel had dealt with its sin. And so they gave chase after the Israelites with confidence. Sometimes this happens whenever the Christian is endeavoring to do something. They'll get opposition from those who are unbelievers. And, and it can be very heartbreaking at times whenever you face this opposition. But again, if you recognize that it is the enemy, and you begin to pray, I'm telling you, prayer changes things. I've faced this last week with a situation where, man, I've been ministering to. Man, I call a friend. He's not a believer. He's got cancer. And his wife emailed me and told me that he appreciates my visits, but at the same time he says he dreads them because he's afraid I'm going to preach to him. And I do. I wrote back and I said, I realize that he's uncomfortable with what I'm sharing with him. I was there at one time myself. But I began to wonder, if there's nothing to this, why am I getting so upset? And that was one of the things that brought me to Christ. It was the reality of the fact that it did make me upset. And it was because my heart wasn't right with God. And I told her, I said, I just pray that what has been shared will take root. It's my hope that somebody else is going to come along and water. But she asked for me to pray because her desire was for him to see. And I believe God can change things. Now, it might seem like it's impossible right now. But again, look what God did here. He can bring people his way. God can shake him up in the middle of the night, give him dreams and visions. Nothing impossible for God. Devil's going to try to shut me up. Devil's going to try to shut you up. Try to keep you from declaring the testimony of Christ and His goodness. But again, all we have to do is be reminded of this. You do what the Lord tells you to do. Verse 8 it says, "And it will be that when you have taken the city, that you shall see the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord, you shall do, and according to the command of the Lord, you shall do. See, I have commanded you." So what we see is that Jericho was taken by day. Here, Ai was taken by night. At Jericho, the Israelites were united. At Ai, they were divided into two companies. And the Battle of Jericho was a marvelous miracle, but Ai was a military maneuver. What I find interesting about this is that the Lord, when He sent His disciples out, He sent them out two by two, you see, in a company. And I believe that there's a principle there for us today. You know, we have to have one another's backs when we go out and we witness and share the gospel. And we have to be bold. At Jericho, the Israelites simply, all they had to do was watch and just see what God was going to do, right? But here at Ai, there were some things that they had to do, some work they had to do. Now, with regard to the Spirit-filled life, we can't box God in as how He does things. He's going to do everything differently, usually, than what He did before. He's God. He can do things. But there are certain principles that God follows that we can certainly expect, that we see laid down in Scripture. The spiritual life is one that walks with the Lord hour by hour, day by day, saying, "Lord, what do you want to do today? What impact do you want to have on people's lives today? What impact do you want to have on my life today?" Rather than expecting Him to repeat the miracles that He did yesterday, He wants to do a new one today. Verses 9 through 12 says, "Joshua therefore sent them out. And when they went to lie in ambush, they stayed between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, and he and the elders of Israel before the people of Ai. And all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near. And they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now Ai lay between them, now the valley lay between them and Ai. And so he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city." And as we see, the job of 5,000 men positioned between Ai and Bethel, 5 miles away, was to cut off basically the escape route. Verse 13 through 17 says, "And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north side of the city and its rear guard on the west side of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. Now it happened when the king of Ai saw it that the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at the appointed place before the plain. And he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all of Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And so all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel, and so they left the city open and pursued Israel." Now, running outside the city, the men of Ai thought that they'd won because Joshua and the men of Israel seemed to be beaten. I think the typology here is clear. Satan, he also thought that he was victorious whenever Jesus was beaten and nailed to the cross. And all of this was done outside the city. And more than likely, every demon from hell was celebrating at that particular time, saying, "He's beaten, he's beaten." How many of you ever heard that song by Carmen, the champion? You know, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 through 8 is one that I always think about when I think about that. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers, or you might say the princes of this world, it says, it's speaking of demon princes, none of them knew, for had they known, guess what? They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. God set up an ambush. You see, an ambush. And the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. So those in ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as they had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city, and they took it, and hurried and set the city on fire. Folks, I'm telling you, Jesus had a spear thrust through his side. And it appeared that he was dead. But what a shock that must have been to Satan when he realized that Jesus had raised from the dead. And those who belonged to Joshua here went into the city, and it says they set the city on fire. I think about the fact that we are to be setting cities on fire. Amen? Setting them on fire with the Spirit of God. Letting them know about the gospel. The devil realizing, we're had. We're done. Verse 20 through 21 says, and when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that. And the people who fled into the wilderness turned back on the pursuers. Now when Joshua and all Israel saw the ambush was taken, had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down all the men of Ai. They knew they were in big trouble when they saw this. And I'm sure that the demons of hell knew they were in big trouble when they saw that empty tomb. Amen. Satan knows that. That's why he calls all the problems in our lives for you and I. Because he knows that he is doomed. He knows that there's a time coming. He knows he's headed for that lake of fire. And he is determined, if he can, to take as many as he can with him. And he seeks, at the very least, to neutralize God's people by lying to them and telling them that they have no effective witness, that they don't have the ability to do the things that God has clearly called us to do. And folks, we have it over the enemy because we're told, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We must believe that. Though he brings accusation against us before God, we know that we have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Remember this, when it seems like you're in the thick of the battle, and it seems like the enemy is about to win. God has promised to the believer in Isaiah 54 and verse 7, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And listen, and their righteousness is from themselves? Nope. It's when they stop trusting in themselves and start trusting in the Lord. Their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Again, a lot we can learn here. Just wanted to give you a little bit to think about tonight, and we'll pick this up again the next time we meet. And I think what we see, the lesson we are to get from this and what we are to take from this is that God is a God of second chances. He gives us a second chance not to trust in ourselves, but in Him who is able to do above and beyond what we're able to ask or to think. Trusting in His power, in His might. That's what the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of your might, His might. Amen. We can overcome. All right.